Hi, and welcome to episode 215 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. So today we're going to be doing a video podcast. Don't worry if you're the sort of person that prefers audio. I do too. But we're going to be doing a video podcast today because I need to show you something on the PC. So before we get on to that, I just did want to thank WebSpy, our sponsors. WebSpy are internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. And you can get a 10% discount on any WebSpy product if you go to www.webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY. Also, if you're on Twitter, then if you could tweet the phrase thank you at WebSpy for sponsoring the at Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. That'll be great, and just shows WebSpy that you're listening. So the reason that we need to do a video today is because I'm going to show you shortly some soft proofing techniques that I've been using recently in Adobe Photoshop CS4. The reason that I've had to get into that is because I've recently been creating these. These are two of three folios that I'm going to be releasing for sale very soon. And basically, until now, my printing technique has been basically to make a virtual copy in Lightroom and then just tweak that to make it a little bit brighter. And I use the exposure levels, increasing exposure by about 0.15 to 0.20 stops, just to take care of that discrepancy that you get. Because usually our monitors are a little bit brighter than the printers, and that's fine. I don't really want to make the monitor. I don't like to think about darkening the monitor down. I like the way the images look like on the monitor. And this is a backlit image. You know, we have light coming from behind the image. With a print, it's dependent on reflectant light. If you put more light onto a print, it becomes brighter. If you look at it in darker situations, it gets darker, obviously. Basically to compensate for the initial discrepancy, I do that little exposure thing. But when I started to put together the folios and I selected 12 or 10 images that I wanted to put into the folios, I found that there were some of them that just contained parts, colors, gradations that just couldn't be correctly represented in the print. And so I did a lot of printing testing. I've actually put it away now, but I could have showed you. I've got a stack of this thick of prints that I've been outputting just to try and get this right. But basically, a lot of it, what I will do is these are some of the test prints, not all of them. I started to just output them in four at a time, and then making notes. Once I got it right, they get a check. But make notes on how I changed them during the soft proofing, and really sort of perfected each one. It's just a big job, you know. And I found that there's a certain amount that you can do in soft proofing to just make them perfect. And I want to share that with you today. I've got to take this, I love these. I'm very, very pleased with the way these are turning out. So I did want to just show you these, look at the logo there, martinbaileyphotography.com. I'm going to do a video to show you these in more detail at some point, but that's going to go on the folios website that I'm putting together as well. But basically, you open these things up, you get facing paper here. There's going to be an intro with a photographer statement in between this and the top print. But basically, once you get in there, we can see that we've got these the flowerscapes, we've got the boilerplate down the bottom with the title and the date and the place that it was shot. So basically, these are the sort of photos that are going to be in the folio. There are 10 in the flowerscapes one because the paper's slightly thicker, so I had to remove two of the original selection. We'll get into that a little bit later. But just to get these perfect. Get the prints exactly how I want them. Took a lot of soft proofing, a lot of messing about. So I'm going to basically just go through how I did that in Photoshop CS4, and we'll get into that now. So I'll see you on the PC in a few moments. Okay, so welcome to my PC. It feels a little bit strange to be recording my screen, but I guess I'll have to get used to this. What we've got here is a set of 10 images, which are the images that we will be releasing as a folio called Flowerscapes. And I'll just sort of skip through these a little bit as we talk, but basically these images are 10 that I've selected from my many Flowerscape images. Just to give you a little bit more background, Flowerscape is really flowers but in the landscape rather than a close-up of the flower. And I've got a number of those that I'll be releasing later as well. But anyway, just to quickly sort of go through these, what I'm going to do is we're taking 10 originals and we're going to be trying to hopefully go to, the point that I wanted to get was to have a set of the same images, but with, they're all soft-proofed. We're not going to be going today to the point where we're not going to be looking at these, how I put the boilerplate on and things like that. These are just the resulting images that I'll be taking through and printing. But what I do want to do is to take you through not all of the images, but just sort of look at a few of these that I've soft-proofed in Photoshop and, explain the soft-proofing process. So go up here. The first thing that I do when I... the first thing I did when I decided to do this project was I printed all of these out. There was originally 12, and I can show you what I did. I'm not used to this. Here you see that there are four images on a page. I just printed out 12 of these on three pages, and this is basically so that I can see what they'll look like without any soft proofing. I just took the images. Didn't do the exposure tweak that I normally do when I'm printing, because I really wanted to see what a base image would look like on the paper that I would, that I'd chosen for the particular folio. And some of them look good, some of them didn't look so good. What I did initially, if you remember back a few episodes to episode numbered 192 and 193, I talked about some paper tests that I did, and I basically at that point decided that I was going to use Harman Gloss FBAL aluminium, I think that's for paper, and I will be using that for my Colors of Japan. Here we can see I've got a bunch of images here, 12 images. These are going to be in another folio that we looked at in the video a while ago. Assuming that I can get that into this podcast. Basically, these images are all going to be part of the Colors of Japan folio. And these are going to be on Harman Gloss paper. Let's just get rid of that. These are going to be on Harman Gloss paper. And we'll look at this one. Where are we? Yeah, we'll look at this one later as well, how I soft-proofed this. But I basically, when I went on to the Flowerscapes set, I originally tried them on Harman Gloss and things didn't look that great. I got to a point where, I'd printed them all out, couldn't get a few done. I had to change a few. And it wasn't really the gloss paper that was at fault. As much as just the matching of the profile and some of the contents of my images. This image, for example,
You'll see these little sort of bluish grey areas here. They came out really, really bad on the gloss, and no amount of proofing could get it right. I just could not forfeit this image. I'd removed a few of the others, changed them around, but I really wanted to have this particular image in my flowerscapes portfolio, and so I wasn't prepared to remove it, so I decided to try a different paper. And I, during those tests, I talked about in episodes 192 and 193, I did mention that I also very much like the Harney Mule museum etching and the photo rag papers. The reason I ruled those out originally was because I hadn't decided the size of the folios yet. But I have since locked in on 8.5 by 11 or letter paper size for the folios. And that was because, basically it was the best size that I could think of for handheld prints. And also it was a good size to make the folio in, the actual at the museum quality, archival quality folio that I've had made, die pressed and all of that. I basically locked in on 8.5 by 11. And I realized that the photo rag paper, 310 GSM photo rag paper from Harney Mule, was available in 8.5 by 11 paper from B&H. Can't get it here in Japan, but because I'm going to be ordering the Harman paper from B&H anyway, I figured that I'd get a few boxes of the photo rag and try it on there. And so that's basically what I did. I went through and I did the whole flowerscape set, this whole set again, on the photo rag. So I've actually done the soft proofing for this set twice. From there though, I also realized that I'd originally had 12 images in this set, but the photo rag is much heavier and much thicker than the Harman paper, so I had to remove two. I'm not too worried about that. I think that's another thing that I didn't mind, forfeiting a couple of images to make this whole set as good as it can be. I want them to be really, really good quality, and I just figured that it was necessary to remove those two images to get them on the photo rag paper. I'm far from an expert on soft proofing, but having done this a lot in recent weeks, I figured that I'd try this video episode to share what I've learned with you in the hope that it helps you too. So if I was going to print this normally, I would just go here to exposure and maybe bump it up by 0.15 to 1.2. You see that the histogram is still well in there. And that would normally be enough to give this enough punch to make the difference between what you see on the screen and the print. I do, of course, always create a virtual copy for that, because I don't want to be messing around with my originals. And also, if you have a virtual copy, then you've got a record of how you last printed it, and you can go back to that. Anyway, I'm digressing. I normally work directly on the raw files in Lightroom, but because I knew that I was going to be soft proofing, I simply exported all of these with any Lightroom adjustments that I'd made to the folio. Here we go. This is I need to show you this way. These are the images after the soft proofing, but if I go down to show you threes, these are the originals. All of the ones with the 3-star rating are the original PSD files that I output, and then I opened in Lightroom. You can see here we have softproof 0, softproof #1. These are the images that I've output, and then I've made a copy of with the softproof. Now, what I'm going to do is just go down and open an original Flowerscapes collection original. Let's grab this. If I open this in CS4, edit the original, what we can see here is that, it's open in CS4, and I'm going to go to image and duplicate, and I want to make a copy of this, and this is going to be the copy that, here we go, softproof one. This is going to be the copy that we just looked at. Now I'm going to give it the softproof one number here, basically because 9 times out of 10 you have to do this a couple of times. It's not very often that I get it right when the first softproof, and you want to keep your softproofs as well, because if you make an adjustment that doesn't go as well as you'd hoped and you want to revert, if you overwrite the softproof, then you're gonna basically lose those changes. So even though it takes a bit of quite a bit of disk space initially, you can remove those later once you get to something that you're happy with. So just number them for now. And there you can see that we have a copy. We have the original here and a duplicate. And then what I do is, this is not going to be good, because for some reason, I think this is possibly something that happened with the Windows 7 upgrade, but some of my menu items don't have the writing, the text next to them. But basically, I'm going to select this and show both of the images in one, in one window. Then, before you actually start softproofing, what you need to do is go to View, Proof Setup, and Custom. And then you can see that I've already got it set up here. But basically, I'm just going to go back to Custom just to let you see that. You need to go to Device to Simulate, and from there I know that I am using the Hornemühle Fine Art. This is the name of the... I always... A little pet peeve of mine is that you can't... a lot of companies don't really give their profiles easily readable names, but anyway. Hornemühle Fine Art Canon... I use a Pixis or Pixma Pro 9500 printer and the photo rag paper. So you just go in here and select the printer and paper profile. Leave preserve RGB numbers off. Change the rendering intent to perceptual. Turn black point compensation on. And also simulate paper color. I leave that on. And that automatically makes simulate black ink on and sort of disabled. Now, you can also save these. So you can see here that I've got a few saved. If you save them, it just makes it easier to load them later. You can see here I have let's take a look. There's the Harman Gloss paper. You can load that. See the settings. Or the one that we're going to proof to right now is the photo rag. So select that and then just click OK, and you can see that this now looks very different to the image on the left. This is the original, this is the soft proof copy. Now once you're in here, you can hit Control Y to show the soft proof version or not. It toggles between the two. So I guess that'll probably be Command Y on the Mac, but I'm sure someone will let me know if it isn't. Control Y to toggle, and then basically once you're in here, you want to try to get this to look as close as you can to this, to a degree. You have to tweak this a little bit, but. There are a number of ways that I've found to get these looking more like the one on the left there. The easiest thing, and often the only thing that I need to do, is to create an adjustment layer for the levels. So you see here we have a levels layer now appeared, and in here we have we can basically play around with the levels to make it look a little bit more like the image on the left. Now, I probably, what you can see here, if you grab the black node here, and move that across. You make things a little bit darker. It plugs the shadows up a little bit. If you bring the white node in, it gives the image a little bit more punch, adds a little bit more contrast back, and brightens up the highlight areas. And if you play around with the midtones here, you can see that you can get it a lot closer than it looked before. And this is, remember that what we're doing here is we're emulating what Photoshop at least thinks this print will look like when you print it out. Now, let me see, Control Y again. What you can tell here now, if you remove the soft proofing, you can see that this looks pretty wacky. It's way over the top. And that is what they'll look like in Lightroom when you take them back in there as well. But remember that you're only saving these copies to print with, so that's not a big deal. Here it is again with the... just mess that around a little bit more. Now, the thing is, it's not as easy as you'd think to actually... I mean, this looks pretty close to this, and it's definitely going to be a lot closer than just printing it out with any soft proofing. But again, I don't like to really make my screen as dark as the prints are. So I'm looking at this on a lighter screen as well. It's not perfect, but what this does is gives you a good starting point. So what I find is, once you've done all of your tests, all of your soft proofing here, you save your copy. And you then have to go away and make another test print. I do all of my printing from Lightroom, most of it, 99.9% of my printing from Lightroom. And what you're going to do is you're going to go off and save another copy of this. I found that this actually was, just looking at it on screen, the tones that I've used in the image here, It wasn't perfect with doing something like what I've just done here. So I'm going to show you now where it was. After a little bit more tweaking, I actually ended up with 9 here and 226 here and 106 in the midtones. Here we go, look at that. So this is where I actually ended up with this. So you can see that if I toggle, you can see that it's much sort of gaudier or loud in some areas, much more contrast, slightly plugged up and dark tones. But this is, if we look at it with the soft proofing turned on, it's not quite the same as this, but these are the exact settings that I got to in my final image. Like I say, you need to really sort of do some test prints afterwards. If we go back to Lightroom, and what I can do is go back into here, and if we show you, if I remove the attribute so that we show all images, you can see that a number of these have soft proof 2, soft proof 1. So I've basically built on my original soft proof images as I go down. Here you can see that I've got a ridiculous number of soft proofs. I think we went up to 7 on this. 6. Okay. So maybe 6 soft proofs for this one, just to get it right. Here we see that I've only took me 3. I've probably removed some of these. So this is soft proof 3 for here. So I'm doing a number of proofs for each one of these. I do want to go through. Let's take another look. Take a look at another few of these. So this soft proof 3. Let's open this in Photoshop to show you where I got. I'm not going to go through the. In fact, we might as well just remove that and that because we don't need it anymore. No, I've saved that off. Remember that you just want to save it. If you open it from Lightroom and just hit save, it will save it in the same folder that you have the original. But if you don't want to do that, just sort of, you know, use save as from the file menu. Wanted to quickly look at this. Again, let's turn on. This is where I ended up with the Softproof number 3. We're using the Hornemuller photo rag. It shows you when you've got the Softproofing turned on, it shows you your let's see, it's what it's using there is this. It's using what you use to save the settings with. Basically, you can see here that I ended up with 14 for the dark, you know, black tones or black point, whatever. Not very good with Photoshop, so you'll notice that I'm not coming out with all of the great terminology. The mid-tones here I went to 0.9, and for the highlights, I guess that's shadows. for the highlights, I went right down to 151. The photo rag from Hornemuller is very... it's a pretty pale paper, and if you want to really make your black stand out, you know, you're going to have to... really sort of plug them up from there. So 14 was a little bit more than than the last one that we looked at, but also the highlights to really sort of keep this all under control. I had to bring the highlights right down here, and that ended up this prints beautifully, and you know, from this Softproof. So I just wanted to quickly show you that. The last few we've really looked at levels changes. This image required a little bit of something else. Let's open this in CS4 to show you this. Basically here we have levels 8, 0.9, 236, just a little bit of levels, general levels change. But I've also here had to change the hue and saturation. Now when you look at this, there's nothing changed. But if you go down, you see these, we've got, you know, various channels and the yellows. The only channel that I changed here was the yellow, but I increased the saturation in the yellow. Again, let's just turn on the profile. Increased the saturation in the yellows because it just wasn't punchy enough in the print. So this is something else to keep in mind. So you've got levels and hue saturation that you can think of, that I can think of to change the image when you're doing your Softproofing. And there was another one that I wanted to quickly look at from the Colors of Japan set. Here, you can see this is where 7 was. I knew I'd recalled 7 from somewhere. You can see that for this image, I had done 7 Softproofs to get this right. It was a pain. So what I want to do is show you what I did here in CS4. Let's show you. Again, turn on the control Y to turn on the Softproofing. I almost caught myself here. So let me show you. This was going to be printed on a different paper. So to show you this accurately, I need to load the Harman Gloss profile. So this here, you know, this is what it's going to look like with the Harman profile, and it's pretty pretty dark. You know, we've got a good. Let's just take it off to show you. I need to select that. This is what it looks like without, and this is what it looks like with the profile. It's not exactly the same, but it's very close. Now, the dark blacks do print a little bit blacker than this. But what I wanted to do here is to show you that in addition to levels, I have levels changes to the tune of 5 in the shadows, midtones to 0.9, and I didn't adjust the highlights. But this image had a really pretty bad color cast. And so what you can see here is that I added a color balance, from the adjustment layers. Where are we? Color balance. I added a color balance layer, and basically it had to change the cyan and the red to plus 55. That basically, moved the. It reduces the cyans or cyans, and increased the reds to help me, you know, maintain this beautiful red in the sunset. The magenta and green slider, I moved it 23 points towards green, and that was basically because there was a pretty bad magenta cast that I wanted to get rid of. Don't particularly need the green, but I wanted to reduce the magenta. And the on the yellow and blue side, this it's blown out. The sunset here had the sun's disk pretty blown out in the clouds, or trying to show through the clouds. But you know, that's how this image is. But basically, I wanted to maintain the yellow in this sort of halo here, and so the yellow has moved down by minus 15. Here we see as well that the shadows, I didn't change the highlights, but in the shadows we had to basically go from, again, the magenta, these areas had a pretty bad cast, so I reduced magenta by increasing green to plus 12. And so, you know, we've looked at earlier, we've seen levels, we've seen hues and saturation, and we've seen color balance. Now, so far, these are the only three adjustment layers that I've used during these soft proofing. But I'm sure that, you know, you could probably use curves instead of levels. I prefer levels, but, you know, you might need the additional control that you can get with curves. You could use any of these, I would imagine, to change this. So really, though, it's just about getting them as close as you can to the original. Again, look here, making this is the original. Actually, you know what? I'm telling you something very wrong here. I need to open the original before we can. Let me get back to Lightroom. You can tell I'm not that good at doing this stuff. So let me go to the original, and we'll show you it. Here we go. Let's open this in Photoshop, or I'll be telling you something wrong. So this is the original. Let's go back to my wacky screen. In fact, here we go. So just move this up slightly here. So this is the original. This is the original. And this is the soft-proofed version. So let me turn on the soft-proofing. Now, I was showing you earlier, that wasn't the original. This is the one with the soft-proofing turned on. And so compared to this, you know, it actually, you can see that there is a bit of a cast here. But I really wanted to try to keep this gradation in the mountains in the foreground. And you can see this actually better on the print. But basically, you know, the changes that I made here, including the color balance, allowed me to sort of make this. It looks a little redder here, but in the print, it actually is much closer to what we see here when I print it out. So let me just get rid of those. So as I say, there's always going to be a need to continue to do test prints. You saw how many of these I was recreating lots of prints in the process. Some up to 7 times. It isn't an exact science, as I say. I found that, you know, it isn't always easy to get just things to look just as they do on the screen. You really have to go back and do the test prints and tweak the soft proofs based on the prints that you output. I had to do most of them at least twice, some many more times. And once you've made your changes, remember that you really want to change the file name. Like I said, don't just sort of overwrite your original file, or you'll lose your stages, the various stages. And I found that it was nice to be able to go back and check what I'd done before. I was also writing what I had done on the screen. You know, as I went through, each of the prints, you know, the 4 prints on a page, I would basically go through and just sort of write. I'm not going to get the video back out and show you this, but basically, if I made changes to this image, I would write in this the white border here. Levels changed from 9, 1.9, 236 to something else, and I just write that in there, and that gave me a way of of quickly going back through without opening the file to see what I'd changed. And then when I'd got it right, I just gave it a check and just said, yeah, this one's it, this is done. And I also wrote at the top here number one, number two, number three for the number of the proofs that I was that I'd done. You know, but then you save them off. You've got your copy, and then you can just you know, you're there. Once you've done that, you're able to you know, just go in to the. Let me just go back and show you this. In the print. Here we go. If you look in here, we've got the. Actually, I need to show you from a different place. I'm really not good at this. I hope you're all still listening. So if I go here and then change this to 4 to get rid of them, what you can see is, you know, this is my, with the, this has got the boilerplate in there, embedded in the image. And this was just, you know, what I did was I got my soft proofs, and I've still got those soft proofs that we looked at earlier. But then I went in and just added these in, did a bit of resizing, and added these in Photoshop. The actual boilerplates are made in Illustrator, but then put them in there, and then when you add the border here in Lightroom, when you're going to print, it makes it just sort of exactly how I want it to, and you can see if you go through, you know, they're all, even if the size of the print is slightly different. That's a different one. And also for verticals, I had to hang on. It's Harney Muley. So here for verticals, got a slightly different layout. But basically, this is what I'm going to be doing: printing them out for the Flowerscapes folio. Just to quickly show you before we finish, remember that you do have to make sure that you use when you're printing, make sure that you specify your profile. It's actually off the screen in here. But make sure that you specify your profile. Rendering intent, perceptual, I find works best. And actually, most profiles are created with one of these in mind. So if you have it in relative, you might not get the right results or the expected result. But make sure that you do continue to maintain your profile in here. And these are saved. If you save this in a... You see how... If I change this to the... Harman Gloss portrait. You can see here that it maintains the profile here. So, you know, remember, if you change your printer, you've got to do this soft proofing again. If you change the paper, you've got to do the soft proofing again. This is a good incentive to not change printers too often, although I don't. But, you know, I really think that if you've got to do this a lot, it would be a big job. I don't think I'm going to be giving up my simple sort of exposure adjustment for general printing, as it basically works most of the time. But I'll certainly be keeping soft proofing in mind for future prints. And whenever something, you know, I usually, say if I receive an order for something that I haven't printed out yet, I tend to do a smaller test print before I go for the 13x19 or whatever it's been ordered on anyway. And if that requires some soft proofing, then at least I've got that tool in my toolbox now. And so, you know, I'm going to be falling back on soft proof without as much sort of trepidation as I had in the past. And if you haven't tried soft proofing yourself, then, you know, I would definitely try. I hope that, I know it wasn't the best, you know, I'm no Scott Kelby sort of trainer, and so, you know, this probably isn't perfect, but I do hope that having walked you through a few of these steps, it'll make it a little bit easier for you to jump into soft proofing. But, you know, that's basically what I do, and so, you know, try it yourself if you want to. What I'm going to do here as well, before we finish... I mean, that really brings us to the end of the podcast for this week. You know, like I said, the first real sort of video podcast, apart from the slideshows that we've done in the past. I'm not going to jump into a video for an outro, Basically, yeah, you know, I'm not that comfortable in front of the camera. And as our friend Landon Michelson has said in the past, I've got a great face for radio. So I'm going to stay off camera now as we lead out. But I did want to say, you know, I'll probably do more. I've just bought a license for Camtasia, the software that I use to capture the screen. And, you know, as I get better at doing this, I'll probably do more. But the general thing is going to be for us to stick with audio. I prefer audio myself. And it's not as though I'm a Photoshop expert, so I'm not going to be jumping in trying to show you all sorts of stuff in there. I've brought the browser up because before we finish, I did want to show you once again webspy.com/MBP to go over to our landing page at WebSpy. And again, you know, when you're here, you can use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything that you buy. And if you come over here, you know, there's plenty of information. You can download the free trial and, you know, basically check out. You've got testimonials. We can see the online product demo. You can go over and get some demos. Actually, this is to book it. What you can do is, I'm pressing the wrong one. You can tell this is unrehearsed. So, yeah, you can watch product demos. There's lots to see here. So do take a look at the WebSpy site if you're interested. That's it, though. Let's go back and I'll show you this as well. It's actually really strange being able to show people stuff as I talk. So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and I've got my Flickr page here. There's also a Vimeo site that I've started to put some stuff up to. But basically, you know, for social networking, find me on Twitter, Facebook, or Flickr. And also, in the, you know, if you go to the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, you can jump to the forum or over to the blog. And basically, yeah, you know, you can find me or interact with me in any of these ways. So that's it, though. I'm going to, as this loads, I'm going to wrap up, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. And in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.